I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. And I told the kids last week, and I've been telling them about this week, you know, normally what you do is that you take an adult Sunday school lesson and then you break it down to the kids. But that's not what we're going to do today. This is your first time here, and it's a great looking crowd out here, and I'm excited about what we're going to do is we're going to take a children's message, and then we're going to build it to the adults. So I'm going to have your help this morning, and I'm going to talk about a story in the Bible that is a kid's story. And then I'm going to bring it up into an adult kind of understanding, because there's some great lessons here. How many of you kids know the story of Zacchaeus? Let me see your hand. Oh, boy, look at that. We've done a good job with Zacchaeus. Tell me. What was Zacchaeus' job? Raise your hand. Somebody tell me, what was his job? What did Zacchaeus do for a living? Anybody know? Yes, sir. Jack? He was a tax collector. That's right. And what kind of tree did Zacchaeus climb up to? Let's see your hand on that one. Caleb, what kind of tree? It's okay. I know you're still struggling through life with finding out who your mother is, but that's okay. Do you know what kind of tree it was? Anybody? Who else is back? Oh, all right. What kind of tree was it?
A sycamore tree.
A sycamore tree. That's right. That's right. And what was the problem that Zacchaeus could not get in close to see Jesus? What was it? Jack again. The peep crowd was too big. But there was another problem. He had a second problem. What was the second problem that he had? Anybody know that one? Anybody? Maddie? He was too small. Why'd you look at your grandpa when you said that, like that? He was too... Well, you guys have done a good job. Okay. I know now you're familiar. I'm going to have your help. I'll tell you how we're going to do it here in a second. But so your parents don't get bored and start getting fidgety. Let's look at Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read the story here, and then we're going to come back, and we'll show you what we're going to do with it. It says in 19:1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Newspaper has always been against Jesus. That's a lot of crowd of people, if you ain't figured it out yet. For the press, because he was, there it is, little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to, here it is again, a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then a great verse, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Father, we come to you today and we ask you to help us grasp the great principles that are found here. Truly, this is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And, Lord, there's a lot of things here that we want to look at today. And I thank you for the children that are here. There's no greater vision for this church than the young men and women that are sitting here this morning with their parents. Lord, help these moms and dads to realize that days like this are great teaching tools for their children. The Lord, there is absolutely no greater a testimony to the grace of God and no greater privilege than to have these little kids grow up with their parents and minister in this church side by side with their moms and their dad. What a great testimony that is. And may each parent today understand the great responsibility that they have as moms and dads and husbands and wives. And Father, take this today and use it for your honor and glory, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever wonder for any moment of time what made Zacchaeus want to see Jesus so badly? Did you ever think about that? You know, things like that in the Bible. I'm past the point in the Bible where I can just read it. There was a time in my life when I read through the Bible once every 33 days. There's no way I can do that anymore. I started out when I first got saved trying to read the Bible through three times a year. That's 10 chapters a day. Can't get to that anymore either. And it's impossible for me now, at 40-some years into the Bible, sadly to say, I got to work at myself of getting through the Bible one time a year. And the reason for that is every time I start going through it, I start reading something, seeing something, then I start asking myself all kinds of questions of why this is. And before I know it, I've read two verses, and I've hung up now for 3 hours on one little thing trying to figure out what's going on. I'm the kind of guy that wants to know why things are the way they are. And many years ago, I looked at the story of Zacchaeus, and I pondered that. I mean, stop and think about it. I mean, look at his circumstances. The Bible says he's chief among the publicans. He's a pretty high-up political guy. I mean, a man of his position. He's a civil servant, under Rome yet. A tax collector. I mean, when you look at who he was, his position, his political affiliation, his stature in the social world, the fact that he was very rich, what would make him climb up into a sycamore tree, we'll say basically make a fool out of himself to see Jesus? What was it that aroused his curiosity so much that he wanted to see the Son of God so badly? Now, I mean, we invite people to come to church today and sit in comfortable chairs and heat it in the winter and cool in the summer. We try to talk to them about Jesus and what he's done, and it's almost impossible. Why is it that way? What was it that caused Zacchaeus to have such a desire to see Jesus Christ? Now, personally, I believe there were some events that happened in his life that caused him to have such a desire to see the Son of God. And I also believe, and I talk to you about this all the time, I also believe that if things were happening in our lives today the way they ought to happen, that instead of repelling people away from Jesus Christ, I believe we'd draw more people to Christ. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, a great verse. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We always have excuses why we don't have an impact in people's lives. We always have our reasons for it, very calculated, you know. Well, you don't understand my job or my situation or this. And the truth of the matter is, none of that really matters when it comes to being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, if we just lift him up, that he'll draw all men unto him. See, I believe there's something wrong with us. There's certainly nothing wrong with Jesus. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, little children still love him. You ever notice this? How little children just have an affinity for loving God? And that's why the most tender time for your children to get them to love God is when they are young and they haven't been told about the things of God that takes away from them. That's why the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, said in the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator, when? In the days of thy youth. For the evil days come. And of course, that's so important with everything that we got here. And I believe that if things were happening in our lives, that things would be different and totally we have a better. Now, and the problem as I see it, really, there's no miracles of God in our life. There's nothing that really has changed about our lives. We've lost the freshness, the newness of the day that God has saved us. We've gotten over, unfortunately, we've gotten over the greatest day of our lives, and that is the day the Son of God, who the Bible says come to seek and to save that which was lost, came down. Do you know why gossip is the biggest problem in churches today? Any church. The reason why people talk about other people and get caught up into gossip is real simple. When you analyze it through the Bible, the reason why people gossip and talk about other people is because God is not doing anything in their life to talk about. So they got to talk about somebody else or something else. It's so simple. And you young Christians who've just gotten saved in the last year or so, or maybe in the last couple of months, you young Christians, never lose that zeal that you got, that everybody sees the absolute change in your life. And I believe the problem today is there's no power of God in our life. We're not exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are not drawn to that. Man said one time, a guy said, how do you build? I remember this years ago. An old boy said to a young guy, he said, asked the question, how do you build a church? And the old man, he just simply said this. He said, if you want to build a church, he says, you go into a town and get on fire for God, and then a whole town will come and watch you burn. Well, there's some great wisdom in that. I think one of the great examples in the Bible is back there in 2 Kings chapter 12. And here, and we've talked about the great picture of the kings and what they represent. And I think there's a man there back there called Jehoash. And when you go through the names in the Bible, Jehoash means fire from Jehovah. And when you study his life, he's a picture of so many of God's people today. He starts out on fire for God, starts out doing a lot of great things, and then something happens in his life. And finally, he winds up killing the priests and the sons of the priest and persecuting the men of God that he's put in his life. And finally, God has so much of it that God simply says, you know what? I'm going to change your name, and I'm not going to call you Jehoash anymore, which means fire from Jehovah. I'm going to take my name off your name and just called him Joash, which just means fire. And that's a great study and a great story, because a lot of God's people start out on fire for God but wind up just being fire. And the tragedy of that is taking that fire all the way to the end and at the judgment seat of Christ. We go around and tell people what God will do for them. That's not witnessing. That's not witnessing at all. That's not witnessing when you go around telling other people what God will do for them. Real witnesses in telling other people what God has done for you. I mean, you know, in a court of law, they will not allow secondhand witnesses. Secondhand witnesses are not permissible. Only firsthand witnesses. Yet in Bible Christianity, that's all we get all the time. About 9 or 10 years, oh, even longer than that, I was preaching at a Bible conference someplace, and the pastor's wife, when we were talking, and she had some books with her. And we started talking about the books that she had, and she laid out the fact that these books she were reading, and I looked at them, and I thought, who are these people? And she says, oh, this is the greatest rage going on in Christianity today. I said, what's that rage? And she said, this is called Christian fiction. And they were writing books now about events of men winning men and women to Christ and great things that they were doing that never really happened, and it became a Christian fiction. Do you know why that was? Is because things are not happening in our lives today. You go back to that bookstore back there and you'll find a book on Mary Slessor, missionary to the lepers. You'll find a guy back there by the name of John Patton. His life reads like a Tarzan thriller. The men back then that were great men and women of God were doing things that was worth writing books about. And they inspired, the Diary of David Brainerd inspired some of the greatest preachers and the greatest missionary. But today, nothing's happening. So what do? We write Christian fiction. We're relegated to writing things that really didn't happen. No, it's a changed life. That's what I think Zacchaeus saw firsthand through the lives of people. Now, let me clarify something here. Now, what I'm going to say this morning and going to preach to you this morning, I can't prove. I don't know if all the events happened the way I'm going to present them. I certainly know they all happened because they're in the Bible. I don't know if they all involve Zacchaeus. But given his job and his close proximity to all these events, it certainly is a hypothetical situation. For something happened that made him want to see Jesus so desperately that he was willing to make a fool out of himself to do it. Now, I told you earlier, now I'm going to take a kid's story today, and we're going to refashion it for your moms and dads and the adults that are here today. And I got to tell you, we've had enough preaching and enough doctrine, we're just going to have a fun time today. I think of all the messages that I've preached in all the years that I've preached, this is my favorite message. I preached this message for 35 plus years. And it's a fun message, pure absolute fun. You know, some messages are hard to preach. You have to deal with issues or say things that you don't necessarily want to say, but they need to be said. Some messages, give me a headache because I got to keep all this stuff in the right order and try to lay it out to you and figure out what I'm doing, and it downright gives me a headache. But not this one. This is one simple little child's message And yet the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, that when we come to Jesus, we're supposed to come as a little child. So sit back today and relax, and let me tell you a story of a man named Zacchaeus and what I think could have happened to make him want to see Jesus so desperately. Now let me say, kids, this is where I need your help. Now as I start telling this story, I need some sound effects. So I want all the kids to get a hymnal. I see some of you are taking notes. That is so good. But I need to get a hymnal in the other hand. Because when we come down through here, we're going to try this out here so I know what we got. When we come down through here, when I get to a point when I say, and he goes up and he knocks on the door, I want you to knock on the book like knocking on the door. Okay? Follow me? Yeah, there you go. Only loud. Okay, let's try it. Okay, I'll just try it here. Okay, and Zacchaeus comes up to the house and he knocks on the door. Very good. Very good. He didn't knock that long. He just knocked a short time. That's good. And for some of you who are really smarter than the average kid in this church, please don't go ding dong, because they did not have doorbells back then, okay? Just trying to stay one step ahead of you. Now, you did very good. So every time I tell the story and I say, and Mr. Zacchaeus walked up and knocked on the door. Got to be smart now, because it's going to come pretty fast, so you got to stay with me. Okay, that's good. Now, here we go. Now, I want you to imagine with me, if you will, the road going down into Jericho. I want you to get an image in your mind of an old dusty cobblestone road. And there's Mr. Zacchaeus, and he's going down to collect his taxes today. Now, let's go along with him. He walks down those roads. He greets people as he goes, comes up to the first house and knocks on the door. Very good. Very good. As the door opens, a weeping woman comes to the door. Mr. Zacchaeus says, "Good morning, ma'am. It's tax time, and I'm here to collect your taxes." The woman begins to tremble, begins to break down and emotionally, and begins to weep. And she says, "Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I know you have to collect my taxes. And I know you hear a lot of sad stories. But Mr. Zacchaeus, my son, my only son, died just the other day. And we worked hard and tried to get enough money to keep our little selves together and have enough food and to pay for our little home and to pay our taxes. And you know, Mr. Zacchaeus, I've always paid my taxes. But I don't know what happened. He just died the other day. And Mr. Zacchaeus, they're getting ready to bury him this very day, this afternoon." And he says, "I want to pay my taxes, but I don't have any money." Well, now Zacchaeus is a reasonable man who can certainly sympathize with a woman who's just lost her son. And he says, "Well, ma'am," he says, I'm sorry for your loss. I'll give you 30 days. And I'm really sorry for the tragedy, and I can see it's upset you very, very badly. And I'm going to give you 30 days, but I want you to know that I must collect your taxes." And goes on his way. He goes down on the road, collects a few more taxes, goes to a few more homes, and comes to another home, and then he knocks on the door. Very good. You guys have got that down. A haggard-looking woman coming to the door. Pale, sickly looking, very white, ashen complexion. She can hardly walk. Zacchaeus says, "Good afternoon, ma'am. I'm here to collect your taxes." She says, "Oh, I know who you are, Mr. Zacchaeus. And I know you have to collect my taxes. And you know I've always been honest with you, and you've always been honest with me. And I've always paid my taxes. But Mr. Zacchaeus, I don't have any money. I want you to understand something. I'm a very sick woman for many years. Something in my blood. I've been to many doctors and none of them can help me. I've spent all of my money trying to get healed. I'm so weak. I can't work. I can't get a job. I want you to understand. I want to pay my taxes, but I just don't have any money." Mr. Zacchaeus says, "Well, ma'am, I truly feel sorry for you. I really do. But you must understand, you must pay your taxes. I'm a government official. I have bosses that I have to stay in good graces with. Now, I can give you some time. Maybe you can find some friends or get a loan or borrow the money. But you must understand, you must pay your taxes." So on he goes. A few more taxes, a few more homes. Then comes to another home. Knocks on the door. Oh, very good. A woman comes to the door. He says, "Hello, ma'am, I'm Mr. Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect your taxes." Woman starts to tremble and begins to weep. She says, "Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I've always paid my taxes. My husband and I worked hard. We built this little home. We raised this little family. We've done the best we could. And I just don't have any money. And Mr. Zacchaeus, I'm not just giving you a sad story. Look at my little kids. They don't have any shoes. They don't have any food. They don't have any clothes. We just don't have any money. You see, some time ago, my husband ran off. I don't know what happened. He went nuts. He came home one day and he harmed our children. He brought shame to our family. He lost his job. And he's been gone now about a year. I don't know what to do. I can't get a job. I have my children. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, can you help me? I need your help. I want to pay my taxes, but I just don't have the money." Well, this is the third story that he's heard today. And he's becoming a little calloused. Yet he can understand. And he says, "Now, ma'am, I'm going to give you 30 days. I've given some others some time, but you must understand this tax bill is not between me and you. I'm a government official, and my job is to collect the taxes that you owe to the government. Now, you try to get the help you need. I don't know. I feel sorry for you, but this is not my problem. I'm going to give you 30 days, and then I'm going to be back to collect the taxes." So he goes on down the road and collects a few more taxes. Finally come to the last house on his ledger and he knocks on the door. Going to have to order some new hymnals after this sermon. He hears the tap, tap, tap of a cane as the man comes to the door, and this is the house of blind Bartimaeus. Not much of a house, just a little shack. Bartimaeus comes to the door. Mr. Zacchaeus says, "Bartimaeus, I know you're just a blind beggar, but I need to collect your tax money today. It's tax day." Bartimaeus says, "Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I know what you have to do, and I know I need to pay my taxes. But I want you to know I've had some real problems lately. You remember Mr. Jones that lived down the road here? Well, he used to pick me up on his way into work. And he used to take me down to the road that goes into Jericho. And there I'd sit with my little tin cup. And people would come by and they put coins in my little cup that I might get enough money to keep my body and soul together, to take care of my place and pay my taxes. But I don't know what happened. He hasn't been around for a while, for a couple of months. And I don't know where he's at. Some people said he moved away or maybe he's sick. But I don't have anybody, Mr. Zacchaeus, to get me down to the road that goes into Jericho to beg. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, you know, could you help me? Maybe with all the people that you know and all the inroads that you have and your position politically, you could get somebody to help me. I mean, I want to pay my taxes, but I just don't have any money." Well, Mr. Zacchaeus, by this time, he's at the end of his patience. His patience today is gone. Four people, four different sad stories, and yet he's delinquent on four taxes. Mr. Zacchaeus says, "Look, Bartimaeus, I don't care what you do. It's not my problem. Now, I've got to come back to collect some other taxes in 30 days, and I'm going to give you a 30-day period of grace that you can get this money. But you better get the money because you have to pay your taxes. I don't care if you're blind or not. There's nothing in the Roman law that says that you're handicapped doesn't mean you pay taxes. So you got to do what you got to do." Off he goes. Well, some time passes. Mr. Zacchaeus goes back to his little home and he starts to work on his ledger, and 10 days pass. 20 days goes by, and finally the end of the month comes. 30 days have gone by. And old Zacchaeus looks at his books and says, "Now, I need to reconcile these tax records with the government." And he heads out and starts to go out to collect those delinquent taxes. He got the first house on the list here. He goes down the road to collect those taxes, and he knocks on the door. Door opens up, and a fine-looking young man comes to the door. Master Zacchaeus says, "Hello, I'm Mr. Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect the tax money. the boy says, well, sure, Mr. Zacchaeus, come right in, and I'll go get my mother and have a seat. And the boy leaves to go get his mother. Oh, Zacchaeus says, that woman lied to me. The last time I was here, she told me her only son was dead. But that time the woman comes in, she's smiling and she's happy. And she says, well, Mr. Zacchaeus, I got the money and I'm glad that you're here. And she comes out and how happy. And Mr. Zacchaeus says, wait a minute. He says, the last time I was here, you told me your only son was dead. In fact, you told me they were burying him that day. Where'd this son come from? She smiles and she says, well, Mr. Zacchaeus, didn't you hear what happened? Well, I thought the whole city had heard what happened that day. She says, Mr. Zacchaeus, the day you were here, I thought I was going to die. My heart was so broken. I'd lost my only son. And he's all I had in this world. And yes, that's true. That day, we were going down to bury him. My friends and my mourners were going on before me as that little funeral procession was going down to the road to the cemetery outside of Jericho. And as we went down that little road, there was a crowd of people coming. And there was a man named Jesus with them. Mr. Zacchaeus, he saw my plight. He saw my problem. And Mr. Zacchaeus, he commanded that funeral procession to stop. He walked over and put his hand on the casket. And he just spoke the words, young man, arise. And that casket flew open. My son came alive. And Jesus gave him back to me today.
Amen.
Mr. Zacchaeus says, I've heard a lot of excuses and I paid your taxes. He says, but that pretty much takes the cake. So he goes on down the road, come to the next house and knocks on the door. Fine, healthy woman come to the door. House is all immaculately clean, well kept. She looks strong and healthy and downright beautiful. She says, hello, Mr. Zacchaeus, I've been expecting you. Have a seat. I'll go get the money. I got a job and doing just fine. And she leaves and goes to get the money. Zacchaeus says, I wonder what happened to her. Well, the last time I was here, she looked like death warmed over. I mean, she was absolutely a wreck. I mean, I don't know if the Avon lady's been around here or what, but man, I'll tell you, and she comes back in, and she gives him the money, and old Zacchaeus says, ma'am, I hate to ask this, but you know, the last time I was here, you looked terrible. I mean, I don't mean to say it bad, but how come you look so good today? She says, well, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'd just like to tell you about that. The day you were here, I was so weak, I thought I couldn't go on. Mr. Zacchaeus, I thought I was going to die. I couldn't make it. A friend of mine came over that day and said, you know, there's a man named Jesus around here. I think he can help you. I said, where's he at? He said, he's in town. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I was so weak. I couldn't hardly walk. She says, I started to go down. And she said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I crawled the last distance into that city on my hands and my knees. I was so weak, I felt like water spilled out on the ground. And there he was, but there was a crowd all around him, and I couldn't get close. I tried to stand up, and I tried to make my way in, and some man just knocked me down. And she says, people were stepping on me, and I couldn't get up. And she says, and I just looked around the man's leg, and I saw him standing there. She says, oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, even his feet were beautiful. And she said, with the last ounce of strength I had, I reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And I felt the strength come back into my body. And Jesus has made me whole today.
Amen.
She says, the Son of God walked over and looked down. And he says, daughter, thy faith hath made me whole. Mr. Zacchaeus was walking away. He said, now, I know that first lady lied to me. But this lady here, I saw the way she was. I saw the way she was before. I saw her actually how weak she was and saw how strong she is now. He says, oh, well, I got the tax money. I guess that's all I need to worry about. So he goes on down the road and comes to the next house and knocks on the door. A woman coming to the door, smiling, happy, singing. You know, that's the way a Christian ought to be. Amen. You ought to live above the circumstances in life. That smiling woman comes to the door happy, and she comes down. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I see you here to collect the tax money. Come on in. I'll go get it. Oh, by the way, Mr. Zacchaeus, you haven't met my husband, have you? Well, Zacchaeus ready to head out the window. He'd heard about this guy. Why, she herself said he was nuts. He'd heard about the community. This guy just was not bipolar. He was North Polar, South Polar, and had the equator in the middle. The kids were afraid of him. The townspeople were afraid of him. And yet, there was a fine-looking man sitting in the chair, sane as could be. All the children were around him and on his lap. They weren't afraid. She introduced him as her husband. Zacchaeus said, well, I know this is none of my business. But isn't he nuts? She says, oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, don't worry about that. She says, didn't you hear what happened? Well, let me tell you. No, wait. Now let my husband. Honey, tell Mr. Zacchaeus what happened. You know, you give a real Christian a chance to testify, and he'll take off on it. Amen. He says, well, sure. Sit down, Mr. Zacchaeus. Have I got a story to tell you? And old Zacchaeus sat down in utter amazement. He said, now, Mr. Zacchaeus, about a year ago, I don't know what happened. I guess the devil got a hold of me and took over my life. I came home one day, I beat my kids, I mistreated my wife, I shamed my family, I brought disgrace to our little community, and Mr. Zacchaeus, I just ran off into the country of the Gadarenes. I was living in a cemetery. Mr. Zacchaeus, I was living among the tombstones with dead people. He said, people would come out to try to help me, and I'd run out and take my clothes off and scare them. I'd take sharp objects and cut my flesh that it would bleed. See, the scars are still here. I didn't want to be with anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. They'd try to come out and bind me with chains, and I had some kind of superhuman strength that I would break those chains asunder. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to be with anybody. My whole life was with dead people. And Mr. Zacchaeus, then one day a little boat came into view, and some men got out. But Mr. Zacchaeus, one man was different than any man I'd ever met in my life. His name was Jesus, Mr. Zacchaeus. Now, most people, I'd run down and try to scare them off. But this man was different. I ran down and I fell at his feet and I worshiped him. And he commanded the devil to come out of me, Mr. Zacchaeus, and legions of devils came out. But I was made whole. And I went up to him. I said, Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to follow you. I want to go everywhere you go. I want to be with you forever. You know what he said, Mr. Zacchaeus? He says, no, son. I got a job for you to do back home. I want you to go back home to your wife and your kids and your family and your neighbors and your town, and I want you to tell everybody what Jesus Christ has done for you. And he says, Mr. Zacchaeus, that's what he's done. He made me sane. He gave me my wife back. He gave me my family back. I got my job back. I got everything, and I want to tell everybody what Jesus Christ has done for me. You know what I think? I think about that time Mr. Zacchaeus wanted to give up tax collecting and go find Jesus. But he said, I got one more house to collect from to clear my tax record, and I'm already down here on this side of the town. I'll go down here and see if old blind Bartimaeus got his money. So he comes to the house, and yes, he knocks on the door. Strange, though, he doesn't hear the tap, tap, tap of the cane. The door opens up, and there stands old Bartimaeus. He says, good morning, Mr. Zacchaeus. You're looking mighty fine today. He says, you're a little bit shorter than I thought you were. He says, now, Bartimaeus, quit fooling around. I know you're blind. I know you can't see. You don't have the tax money. Now, quit fooling around with me. Zacchaeus says, well, Mr. Zacchaeus, haven't you heard? I thought everybody around here heard what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. I got a friend of mine to take me down to the road to Jericho after you were here to get my taxes and collect my money to pay you. And I was sitting down there in the road, and people were coming by and putting their little cups, money in my little tin cup, enough to get some money together to keep body and soul together. And I was sitting there and listening, and a crowd came down the road. And somebody said, Jesus is with them. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'd heard about Jesus. Somebody told me that he could unstop deaf ears, and people could hear that were deaf. Somebody said that he took people who were lame and crippled and straightened their legs. Well, Mr. Zacchaeus, I even heard he raised dead people. And oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I just knew that if he could do all that, he could open my blind eyes. And he said, so I sat there and I said, I waited till the crowd got close. And I cried out, Jesus, thou son of David. He said, people came by and told me to be quiet. But he said, I cried the louder. And I said, Jesus, thou son of David. And Mr. Zacchaeus, he stopped dead in his tracks. And he walked over to me. And he says, son, what do you want? And I said, oh, dear Jesus, oh, that I might see. And he said, well, son, you can see. Just open your eyes. Mr. Zacchaeus, he took the scales off my eyes. And I opened my eyes and I saw the blue sky. I saw the little children. I saw the birds flying in the air. But oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, the first thing I saw was the face of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Old Zacchaeus says, that's it. I've got to see him. That's it. Zacchaeus says to Bartimaeus, where's he at? Bartimaeus said, he's in town, but you better hurry. There's always a crowd where he's at. Oh, Zacchaeus ran down that road and into town, and there he was. But the Bible says that he couldn't get close because of the crowd. And the Bible says that he was small of stature. You know, some people, when they have obstacles like that to get to Jesus in their life, they get so discouraged so easily. They give up and quit so quickly. But not Zacchaeus. No. Not after the firsthand testimonies that he'd heard. Not after the changed lives that he had seen. He says, I've got to see him. Why, he scooted up that tree like a 10-year-old child. He hung like a monkey by his tail as he looked down there and Jesus came by. And let me tell you something. The greatest testimony of this church, the greatest testimony that you can have as a child of God, is the power of God to reach out and touch people by what God is doing in your life today. Amen. Not last year, not a week ago. What God right now is doing in your life. And I believe that the lack of miracles, the lack of the power of God in our lives, is what repels people. We got a Bible in one hand and a bottle of beer in the other. We try to spread both sides of the fence, walk down the middle of the highway. Nobody is willing to take a stand. And Zacchaeus is a great picture. Because after the lives changed that he had seen and the firsthand testimonies that he heard, he says, I've got to see him. He climbed up that sycamore tree like a little kid. And oh, how surprised he was when Jesus looked up and knew his name. You know something today, folks? God knows your name this morning. He knows your name this morning. My Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He died on that cross for you. And just like Zacchaeus, who had everything in life, he was rich. He had everything that he wanted, everything that he could possibly imagine, except the number one ingredient that fulfilled his life. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out his day that day just like any other day. And yet God had put in his life the changed lives of people who had experienced the power of God firsthand, that were so excited about what God did, they couldn't keep from telling him. And I'm telling you this morning, Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. Bible says in the last great verse in chapter 19, verse 10, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, you and me. And sitting here this morning, if you believe the testimony of a widowed mother who lost her son and then gets him back, you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of an unshaved man. Dead people in the Bible are a picture of unshaved people. Because if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're dead in trespasses of sin. And you're just as dead as any person in that cemetery, only you're dead spiritually. You have no power with God. You have no ability to reason with God. You have nothing with God. Bible says, ye of your fathers, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you shall do, John chapter 8, verse 44. But if you believe the testimony of a widowed mother who lost her son and he was dead and Jesus touched him and brought him back, God will save you this morning. If you believe in a dying woman who was healed, a picture of something wrong with her blood, the flesh that you and I have that kills us, and the blood poisoning that we have because the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you believe the story of a dying woman who had an issue of blood who God healed, God will save you this morning. If you believe the story of a bipolar maniac who lost his family, who lost everything he had, who was demon-possessed and goes all through life, and if you believe that a picture of losing your mind to this world, that God has the power to heal that, put your family back together, put your life back together, give you your wife again, and make that thing glorious to God, God will save you this morning. If you believe the story of an old blind man named Bartimaeus who received his eyesight, picture of spiritual blindness. We sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God will save you this morning. You see, if you believe those firsthand testimonies and how that God changed the lives of men and women who God has put into their lives, God will save you this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed.